Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com.
Listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening today. Well, in just a moment, we're going to hear from one fantastic worship leader. We're going to share his music from his newest album, It's Another Artist Corner, with Matt Redman. I'm going to get him on in just a moment, but I have a quick announcement first. If you've stumbled on the dial, if you're brand new to Faith Radio, first of all, we welcome you to the family, but we would sure love to send you a Faith Radio welcome packet today. So if you're interested, go to our website at myfaithradio.com and sign up to receive the welcome packet. Just our way of saying thanks for listening, gives you a little bit more information about the programming on Faith Radio. We've got an amazing lineup of teachers and preachers, and you can spend some time on our website checking it out as well, but we'd love to get that into your hands. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Matt Redman is a worship leader and songwriter, best known for Blessed Be Your Name, 10,000 Reasons, and You Never Let Go. He's a key songwriter for today's church, an active worship leader for Passion Conferences around the world. Matt and his wife, Beth, have 5 children, and they live in England. And you can find him on the web at mattredman.com. Well, Matt, thanks so much for joining us today. Glad to have you on the program.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into celebrating your brand new album, Unbroken Praise, and hear some of the music, Matt, we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse that you can share with us or just a passage you've been pondering these days.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. One of them is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. And really, that's always been, as a worship leader, that's kind of what you're trying to do, isn't it? You're trying to bring something that's going to be meaningful and real and, you know, to God. And even, you know, for me, going way back, I wrote a song called The Heart of Worship. And really, that's what it's all about, you know, finding the heart of worship, finding out what pleases the Lord.
Beautiful. Well, Matt, give us a little backstory, if you would, on just when you came to Christ and when you were all in. For some, you know, that's all at once. For some, they don't even know what it is they're getting when they say yes to Jesus. And then there's a point of engagement where they start to understand. What about you?
For me, it goes way back to my childhood, actually. I was 7 years old, and my dad passed away very suddenly. I found out that he'd actually taken his own life. And it was an interesting moment for me because somehow it propelled me towards God. I can't quite explain it, but I do remember praying to him at a time and talking it through with God, you know. And then when I was 10 years old, a guy called Lewis Palau came to England, and he came to a soccer stadium and preached the gospel. And it's really the first time I've heard it explained like that, and the whole everything that Jesus had done for us and won for us. And it just grabbed me, and so I became a Christian that night. I was 10 years old, and as a little aside, it's a beautiful thing. In a couple of weeks, I'll be in Central Park in New York with Lewis Palau for one of his missions. I'll be leading some worship there, and you know, what a beautiful thing, you know, all these years later, the guy who led me to Christ, I get to minister on one side.
You know, it's amazing, too, Matt, as we have Andrew Palau on the show quite regularly. We just had him on last week, and he was talking about that upcoming event, and we're praying for that for him. But, you know, even Andrew's story of wandering away, being a prodigal, while Luis was preaching the gospel to millions and young people like you were receiving, it was like Luis was sowing seeds into other people's lives. And in due time, Andrew would find his way back, and he, too, being serving side by side with his dad. I mean, it's such a beautiful
That's
thing.
That's amazing,
isn't it?
I mean, wow. The whole, It's an amazing story, and I love that.
Really, really is. Well, when you realized you had this gift for music, and then God started to open doors for you, Matt, how did you navigate that landscape and the tension between kingdom motivation? I mean, your songs very much point towards Jesus, but you know how it is in any kind of upfront ministry. There's a pull, there's a culture, even a current of self-ambition, making a name for myself kind of a thing. How have you navigated those waters?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, firstly, I mean, what I do, you could look at it and say, oh, there's a stage and there's some lights and some sound and musical instruments and, you know, you could look at it like a big gig, you know, concert and think, oh, that's the same. But, I mean, the first thing is to remember that's not the same. What I'm doing is trying to lead people in the praise of God. I'm trying to help people journey towards Him in worship. And, you know, it's just, it's very good for a worship leader to keep remembering, though, even though everything looks so much the same as a normal performance, this is no way a performance, you know. Someone once described it to me, it's like with a boat. If you went and looked at the design of a boat, someone like me might look at it and say, oh, it's a nice, you know, sail, and I like the mast and the rigging, and I don't really know what a boat has, a deck, I guess. And I might be able to appreciate that, but someone who really understands the whole nautical engineering side of things might say, well, I get all that and it looks good, but I wonder what it's like below the waterline. And the reason is this, because with a boat, what happens below the waterline has to outweigh what's happening above the waterline. It'll be fine in the harbor, but once it gets out onto the sea and maybe some strong wind or waves, if what's below the waterline doesn't outweigh what's above the waterline, there's going to be a problem. And I think it's the same with the life of ministry or what kind of thing I do. You know, you have the character, the unseen stuff, the stuff that's below the waterline, has to outweigh the public stuff, all the stuff you do on the stage. Otherwise, you're going to end up in some trouble. And I'm aware of that, and God's been very kind, reminded me of that quite a few times in my life.
Well, I was going to ask you to give advice to the young up-and-coming worship pastor, but I feel like you did. And, you know, if everybody could have a brother, travel with them. Nobody can talk to a brother like a brother can. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I raised three boys, absolutely. And I'm telling you, the way they talk to each other, I know they love each other, but they'll talk to each other if they need a talking to. So that's good.
Absolutely. The first day my brother worked with me, I came down 10 minutes late to the hotel lobby for the venue, and he said, look, if I'm going to work for you, you're going to do what you're told. And I was like, here's my 10-year younger brother telling me off on the first day. This is not good. But of course, it is very good.
That's awesome. That's just great. Well, thank you for that. So your album, Unbroken Praise, I was telling Matt before the show that in my office prepping for this interview, I had church. This is an anointed, powerful album. But talk about that inspiration behind and through Unbroken Praise.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, the musician Bono, he says, I preach what I need to hear. And I get what he's saying, because it's the same with songwriting. You preach, you know, or you sing, or you say what you need to hear. And you know, a lot of these songs do come from my life. And actually, honestly, I have a couple of stressful years and some things with navigating and transition and certain stuff like that. And a lot of the songs I was writing were about finding God in the midst of a storm, or finding your way to the place of praise, even when life is tough. And I almost fought that for a while. I thought, I can't have, you know, it's probably four or five songs on the album that talk about themes like, you know, the greater the storm, the louder my song, or the song on the album that borrows from the old hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And I've got another song on the album called Abide With Me. And they're all going into that theme. And I thought, can I really do that? You know, is that too much? And I thought, no, actually, you know, this is where I'm at right now. And it's great to write songs that are full of truth, but songs that are full of real life. And these come from a real place to me, you know. So when I was writing these, I was definitely preaching what I needed to hear. Yeah. You know, I love that with a song, not only can you praise God, but you can also preach to yourself.
Indeed. Wow. You know, if people aren't walking through such a storm, they may be walking into such a storm. So I feel like the timeliness of this album is really perfect. Well, we're going to listen to It Is Well With My Soul. Set up if you want to just say another word about that profound and powerful song.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the old hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, was written by Horatio Spafford, and it was in the 19th century. And it really powerful and profound story. You know, he had lost, I think he'd already lost one child in life, and then his family, he was traveling separately with them. They were going over to Europe, and basically his wife survived when the ship capsized, but all of his children died. And she wrote this, you know, now famous telegram to him saying, saved alone, that she was the only one who made it. But somehow, even in the midst of that, he managed to find his way to praise and his find to trust and, you know, and to say it is well with my soul. So it doesn't really surprise me, because of the circumstances that was written in, that this would still be such a powerful hymn today. Well, I was writing this song, and I couldn't find a chorus. And then one day I realized the chorus of this could be that old hymn, maybe I could borrow from Horatio. You know, he's always been an inspiration by that song he wrote. But maybe I could borrow that, and it seemed to fit perfectly, tempo and key and theme-wise. Hmm. And so it is well with my soul.
Ah, let's listen in. Wow, I can't even tell you how much I love all this song and every single song, and so grateful for this time today with singer-songwriter Matt Redman celebrating his brand new album, Unbroken Praise. Taking a short break. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
There's a joy that chases the dark away. God, we won't be silent. And the greater the storm, the louder.
With the Promise, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm talking to Matt Redman, celebrating his brand new album, Unbroken Praise. Matt, this is probably one of my favorites on your album, Unbroken Praise, Songs in the Night. Oh my goodness, I want to just go face down when I listen to this one. And I love this lyric, so when I'm in the storm, Lord, the storm is not in me. You will be my peace. I will wait here. Talk about the message in this amazing song, Songs in the Night.
It's something I think has been in there a while for me. It was because I've been looking at this theme in Scripture and how, you know, a lot of the Psalms, in a way, they're songs in the night. They're songs from a place of struggle. And Eugene Peterson, you know, that wrote The Message, he estimates that 70% of the content of the Psalms is lament-based. It's songs which are not written when life is going swimmingly and everything seems to be full of sunshine. These are songs written from gritty, tough places. And, you know, that theme's always fascinated me. You know, this whole idea of, even in the natural world, the nightingale, it's one of the only birds that sings when it goes dark. You know, all the other birds stop, but the nightingale keeps going. And I think, well, that's the kind of worshiper I want to be. And another example in the natural world would be an evergreen tree. And, you know, when you find out when a tree is evergreen is in the winter, you know, all the trees look the same, but suddenly in that season, you get to see which trees are evergreen. I want to be that kind of worshiper. I want to be a worshiper, yet can sing the songs in the bright noonday sun and when everything's flowing well in life, but I want to find my way to the place of praise, even in the dark of the night, too, even when you can't see in front of your face, you know, you don't really get what God's doing in your life. Maybe there's some confusion or struggle. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 77, I remember my song in the night. Job 35, it talks about the God who gives songs in the night. And this is what this song is all about.
Well, let's listen in. Songs in the Night from Matt Redman.
God, you can tell the way. Be still. Tell the ocean roar to pass, Lord, until it does. I'll wait here. God, you can part the raging sea. Bring the God in it all, and I will stand, I'll be still and know, whatever may come, you got in it all. And so when I am in the storm, Lord, the storm is not storm. Lord, the storm is not in me. You will be my peace. I'll wait here. I'll wait here. I'll wait here.
That's from Matt Redman's new album, Unbroken Praise, Songs in the Night. And here's another line from that song, Your Love Won't Leave Me in the Shadow. That just about made me cry. Having a great conversation with singer-songwriter Matt Redman. When we come back, we'll talk more about faith and God's faithfulness and hear more songs from Matt Redman. Back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to talk with Matt Redman today about his new album, Unbroken Praise. Matt is thinking about that passage that's been meaning so much to me lately about your light and momentary afflictions are producing in you a weight of glory that far outweighs them all. And there's so many things we go through on this earth that don't feel like light and momentary afflictions. But since that word is true, it must mean that the weightiness of the glory far exceeds the weight of my burden. You know, isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting when you write worship songs, you know, sometimes they fly around the place, but also they seem to find their way to the deepest places of people's hearts. And we've, you know, I wrote a song called 10,000 Reasons a few years ago with a friend of mine called Jonas, and we've had so much response from that song, and just about 15 people have written almost the same thing, saying my loved one was dying in hospital of cancer, and they requested that the last song they hear or have sung over them would be the song 10,000 Reasons. It's just a beautiful act of worship. It's so profound, isn't it, when in the midst of even those moments, people can still be found with a song of worship in their hearts. And we had probably the most powerful one of all from that song a few weeks ago. There were some guys in Bali who 9 years ago they'd been convicted of drug trafficking offenses and sentenced to the death penalty. But since then, they'd become Christians, and their lives had been radically transformed, and actually they'd start to transform other lives too, and in that prison, by all accounts. But the Bali authorities decided they still need to face death penalty, and they were being led out to the firing squad, and they requested not to have a blindfold. And as they were standing there facing the executioners, they sang 10,000 Reasons. I first saw this in the newspaper, and then a few people confirmed it to me who were close to them, and it just made me think, man, people call me a worship leader, but that's worship leading. Mm. You're what an amazing act of worship and worship leading. And also, it made me think, you know, if you can face a firing squad and still have a song of worship for Jesus Christ on your lips and in your heart, then you can pretty much face anything in life.
Indeed.
And still be found singing to him. And it's just such a powerful story.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. My mentor always says, the battles are won in worship. She said, that's where you're going to find the victory in your battle is in worship, when you put your eyes on him and your heart on him. And it's really true that we are in a day where our faith is being boiled down to, you know, like in cooking, I'm not much of a cook, but I know this one term called reduction, where you boil it down to its core substance. And I feel like our faith is being boiled down to its core substance, where we've been able to be propped up by wealth and freedom and entitlements and all these things. But we are in a storm, and the storm is boiling us down. And I'm thinking, we're looking at these examples of our persecuted brothers and sisters. I mean, I learned of one of the ISIS terrorists, you probably read about this, he had a dream, a vision, and Jesus was saying, "You stop killing my people." And he was enjoying persecuting and killing Christians. In particular one, he was about to kill him, and the man said, "I know I'm about to die, but you can have my Bible when I'm dead." And he read his Bible and came to Christ. And I'm thinking, we shake our fists and scream when people step on our toes, but to have our faith boiled down to the point that we're going to worship him in the dark and in the night, we're going to love when it's hard and when it's easy. Don't you feel like that is the call for us right now? We've got to know how to worship in this place, and even how to love in this place.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm really aware, the end of the day goes way beyond singing, of course. I mean, The title album was the title song on the album called Unbroken Praise, and it has this line that says, "Let my deeds outweigh my words. Let my life outweigh my songs. Sorry, let my deeds outrun my words. Let my life outweigh my songs."
Wow.
And ultimately, I know that's what it's about. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a surrendered life. And he's looking for people who will worship him in every season of the soul, and people who will complete the integrity of the things they sing and say with a life laid down in worship.
Speaking of which, we're going to hear Unbroken Praise. Let's listen in.
Praise unbroken, praise unending, be yours forevermore. Praise untainted, praise unfading, be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Unbroken praise, be yours, God, forever. All my praise, be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life, let it become your throne. Unbroken praise, be yours. My surrender, my devotion, be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Unbroken praise, be yours, God, forever. My deeds outrun my words, and let my life outweigh my songs. So let my deeds outrun my words, and let my life outweigh my songs. Forever, Lord, take this.
Holy goosebumps, I'm telling you. Just powerful, Matt. Thank you. Golly, I'm so glad to be talking with you today. Would you set up the song Abide With Me? Talk about that song.
Yeah, this song Abide With Me is a co-writer. I wrote it with a few friends of mine, David Crowder and Matt Maher and a guy called Jason Ingram. And it was a little team effort. And it's just talking about how Jesus identifies with our pain. I mean, what kind of amazing thing is it's not even that God could look down on you and see your suffering and have compassion for you, but God himself, that Jesus himself has walked this earth, and he's walked the same dirt that we walked, and he's suffered, and he's in this identification, you know, with everything. And the song talks about Gethsemane, you know, in the place of Gethsemane, used to struggle to having that place and that feeling of aloneness, and how so many of us have felt that. And then it goes on to just cry out, you know, abide with me, and it says, I know that your love will never let me go. And so I hope this song is going to bring a lot of hope to people. And we've had some beautiful times leading it so far, but I really hope somehow it might infuse, you know, hope and peace in people's heart, whether it's we're in that place of wondering what on earth is going on in their lives right now.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. Here's the song, Abide With Me.
I have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken world. You walked it first. You know our pain, but you sure hope can rise again up from the grave. Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with me and never leave. Ever close, God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, before the cross, before the nails. Overwhelmed, alone you prayed. You met a sin, our suffering, and bore our shame. Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with me. Never leave, ever close, God, abide with me. A love that will not ever live. will weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me. We'll weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me. Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with me. And then
That's off of Matt Redman's new album, Unbroken Praise. That was the song Abide With Me. So honored to have Matt with us today. We're taking a short break. Don't go away. More with Matt Redman in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Welcome back to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Loving my conversation today with Matt Redman, talking about his new album, Unbroken Praise. He's actually in an arena. Are you getting ready for a concert tonight, Matt? Is that why you're in an arena?
We're in California today, and we're part of something tonight. Actually, a lot of our good friends, Rain Collective, are here, and Young and Free, and also Newsboys and Toby Mac. So it's going to be a great night. A lot of worship happening. It's wonderful.
Excellent, excellent. We've had Rand Collective on the show before, and Matt's like hiding in a back hallway so he doesn't get too much noise. So good for you.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky. There's a lot of loud people around here, but even that list name I just gave you, right?
You're managing well. So, well, okay, so how about one last song from you, No One Like Our God. Talk about that one.
Yeah, as a worship leader, I always want the centrality of the cross to be there in the things I write and the things I lead. And, you know, it's just interesting. The cross, you can come at it from so many angles and just keep writing new songs. I mean, if you can't think of any new angles yourself, you can go back and look at some of the old hymn writers. You've got people like William Cooper saying, "The fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." You've got people talking about the old rugged cross. You've got Isaac Watts talking about "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And they're getting so many angles from which you can approach the cross. And this is another little offering, another effort for me to try and sing about the cross of Jesus in a fresh, meaningful, and relevant biblical way.
And here it is, No One Like Our God.
Chains are broken. Your death has spoken life to us, and every accusation, all our condemnation, silenced at the cross. Hallelujah, free salvation, we burden all a world so lost, lifted from our shoulders, carried by the Savior's passion at the cross.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up, Matt, I know you're just such a busy guy. I so appreciate you tucking in the back of a hall somewhere in an arena to make time for us.
But
it's been delightful talking with you. Would you mind praying for us and for God's people that there would be a great awakening? I mean, in the midst of God's people, there are waywards, there are prodigals, there are wearies, there are the remnant that are passionate, running hard after him. But I just have such a heart to see all of us come together and run together towards him. Would you pray for that for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, Father, we thank you today that even in the moments where we've foolishly taken our eyes off, you've never taken your eyes off us for a second. I thank you that we're known by you and we're loved by you. And thank you that you've got a plan for every single person listening right now. You've got hope, future, and you've got plans for us. And I know sometimes when we lose our heart of worship, it's because really we've lost sight of your heart. And so I pray today that anyone who's lost our heart, it's obscured the sense of your heart, a trial or a trauma or some challenge or in life right now, is we just really have struggled to see that you're for them and you're with them. And I pray today just illuminate the lives again. Let them see your heart beating strong for them. And then I know that that's how we worship you, that our worship to you is our reply, our response, our reflex to you. So I pray that today. And I pray that as well as crying, help me today, people might cry hallelujah. There's a great John Newton quote I love, you know, why not say help me and hallelujah together? We say that today. Anyone who's in struggle today, anyone who's in the battle today, we're crying, Lord, help me, but we're also crying hallelujah, hallelujah to your name. For you are great and you are good and you are our maker and you are our savior and you are a perfect father. So we pray all this in the amazing name of Jesus. And I pray for a big breakthrough in so many lives. Amen.
Amen. And Matt, may God do beyond your wildest dreams at your concert tonight. May he restore and redeem in ways you can't even imagine. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your precious heart and for your time today. And I want to thank you for listening today. I hope you were as encouraged as I was. You have been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.